You're listening to Your Child with host Kyla Boyes, brought to you by the University of Michigan Health System.
I'm Kyla Boyes, and you're listening to part one of a five-part series on sibling relationships. I'll be talking with Brenda Voling, PhD, a professor of psychology and research professor at the Center for Human Growth and Development at the University of Michigan. Dr. Voling is a developmental psychologist with a special interest in family relationships. She studies sibling relationships, jealousy between siblings, and family factors that contribute to sibling rivalry. Her current research looks at helping older children adjust to the addition of a new baby sibling to the family. Today, we're discussing the basics of sibling rivalry and what parents can do to prevent it. Welcome, Dr. Voling.
Thank you, Kyla.
I'd like to start by defining what we mean when we talk about sibling rivalry. Could you give us a definition?
Sibling rivalry refers to the competition that you often see between siblings over things such as possessions, parents' attention, or even one's own abilities, such as trying to outcompete one another in sports or academics. I think, though, one of the things I would like to note is that we often think of rivalry as being negative, but it can also actually have some positive benefits if it's what I call friendly sibling rivalry. For instance, siblings can compete one another in a manner that actually spurs the other child on to do better or to actually excel. So, for instance, you might see two brothers who are doing a pickup game of basketball. They're both in it to win, and they actually may be teasing each other along the way, but there's really no hostility or nastiness in the interaction. They're in the game, they want to win, but they also walk away being friends at the end.
Mm-hmm. So a friendly rivalry can be a positive thing.
Yep.
What causes fighting and jealousy between siblings?
Conflicts or disagreements between siblings, whether they're physical or verbal, can occur because of a host of reasons. But they often involve the two siblings in opposition over something or a parent's attention, for instance. Young children often have conflicts and disagreements over toys and possessions. Older adults, for instance, might have conflicts over political beliefs or differences in religious beliefs, so forth. Jealousy, on the other hand, is very specific to the feelings that children have when a parent directs more attention to one child versus the other child, and the child believes they are losing the parent's love to a rival, in this case, their sibling. It's a sense of emotional loss that the parent's love and attention is taken away from them, but then given to somebody else, in this case, their brother or sister.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads nicely to our next question, and that's, how can parents prevent rivalry? How can parents help children to not feel as if there's only so much love and that they've got to compete to get their share?
For me, my recommendations in answering this question would really depend on the age of the children mm-hmm. involved, as well as what is the source of the child's conflict and the children's conflict and their rivalry. Are they upset because a sister has worn another sister's blouse without asking them? Are they fighting over a favorite toy without one getting to play with it before the other one? Or do they actually believe that one parent actually favors them and is showing some preferential treatment toward one that they're not getting? As I noted, jealousy is often due to the perception that one child has, the other one is getting more of mom and dad's love, and they're not. So in this case, I would say parents need to be aware of how they're treating their two children and whether they are indeed partial toward one child over the other. They're very sensitive, children as young as, say, three, to how their parents are treating them in relation to their brother or sister. But at the same time, having the goal to treat each of them equally is probably also unrealistic, because children are different. Any parent who has two or more children knows that the day they're born, they are born with different personalities and different temperaments. And those different personalities draw different behaviors from the parents. Also, parents are treating kids differently based on whether they're older or younger siblings, based on age. But that's not necessarily showing I love one child over the other. It's saying you deserve more sleep than the other child who is older and can stay up longer. Also, gender plays a role in this, in that we often do things differently with boys and girls or sons and daughters. So, for instance, you may play dolls with your daughter, but your son probably doesn't have an interest in doing that. And so you may want to do something else differently for them.
So treating your kids equally is not the same as giving each child what they need.
Right.
So that's something that parents can assure their children, that I will do my best to meet your needs, whatever they may be.
Right. I think when we find differential treatment is leading to some poor outcomes, usually low self-esteem or increased fighting between children, most of the time it's because the children are interpreting the parents' behavior, maybe differently than the parents actually intended. Mm-hmm. But what they're interpreting in their little minds or their older minds is that this parent prefers him, this parent favors him and not me. So I'm losing something that they're not. Mm-hmm. If the child understands that the reason the sibling is getting something that they're not, and it's something that they agree with. So for instance, okay, I have to do more chores. I don't really like the fact that I'm expected to do more chores, but I am the older one. And so I understand why mom and dad are asking me to do these things more often than they're asking a younger child. Mm-hmm.
Let's go now to some questions about sibling rivalry that have come in through the Your Child website. One person wrote in asking about rivalry between cousins. She says, I have two male grandchildren. Each is 3 years old. One is born in July 2004, the other in January 2005. They generally get along well, but lately the older one, who spends more time with me, doesn't want to share toys that are here with his cousin. This came to a complete meltdown. And she goes on to explain that it caused a lot of feelings of it was unfair that one was punished and not the other. And so she's asking about rivalry between cousins.
Sharing can be hard for really young children of this age. And I actually wouldn't demand from children of this age to share equally, but to try to share to the best of their ability. But also, adults are really important mediators in orchestrating play and being able to orchestrate how children are supposed to share with one another. So in this particular case, I think maybe one of the recommendations I would have had is for the grandmother to perhaps sit down with the children and show them how to take turns, and also herself play with one child and then play with another child to sort of demonstrate or model for the children how you take turns doing one thing and how you take turns doing another thing. 3-year-old children aren't going to come to this knowledge by themselves. It has to be shown to them. And a lot of times what people think is not sharing toys is not always about not sharing toys. It's actually about the adult's attention that they want. So I've actually seen situations where a child will hoard a toy and hold on to it as a parent's asking them to share it. But if the parent turns around and starts playing with another toy with the sibling, the other child loses total interest in the toy. Mm-hmm. So the notion is it's not about the toy at all. It's really about the fact that the child wants the attention that the toy is bringing to them mm-hmm. by the adult.
Another question that came in was, what is the optimal age difference between siblings?
This is a really common question that I get asked a lot. And from my perspective, I don't think there is an optimum age. Now, I can tell you based on statistics that have been collected in terms of when parents tend to decide to have a second child. And the most common time period for parents to decide to have a second child is when the firstborn is 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. But optimally, I think it really depends on the family, what their expectations are, what their family circumstances are. So I know people who would want to have their children very close together. And their rationale is, because I want them close together, I want them to grow up together, to have shared interests, and to be able to be very close friends. Mm-hmm. Others may, for instance, like a working mother, may say, I don't want 2 children under the age of 3, both in diapers, both having to be potty trained, you know, whatever. I want to be able to spread this out so that I can have some reprieve in between. The other thing that I don't think people think about when they're putting kids together, I mean, or they're having this birth interval very short between their children, is the longer term implications. I think parents are thinking, well, what's the optimal age to get them past this arrival of this new baby, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you have children who are very close in age, you're also gonna have 2 young adults who are close in age when it comes time to pay for college.
Right.
So you have 2 children in college if they're closer together mm-hmm. and have to use those finances toward both of them versus right. if you spread it out, it's paying for 1 child at a time. So again, I'm not sure there's a optimal answer for that particular
question. Lots of factors to consider. Mm-hmm. Yep. Another question was, when should children have their own bedrooms?
Again, this is not an answer that I think is straightforward. In some families, for instance, financial situations may make this not even a reality. You know, there's limited space in the home and the children have to share. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us may remember, either ourselves or people that we knew, who you shared a room with your sibling mm-hmm. until you left home. For others, there may be certain times in the children's lives where it makes more sense. For instance, as children are approaching puberty, and you see some of the secondary sexual characteristics and changes that are occurring, for privacy reasons, and because adolescents also like to have more autonomy and be independent, that clearly is probably a time where you would want to think, particularly if it's a boy and a girl, mm-hmm. to let them have their own space and to let them have their mm-hmm. own rooms.
I imagine there are pros and cons to sharing and having your own room.
One of the things I think that's important to underscore throughout this whole session with siblings is that siblings have to have some type of contact, I think, with one another to learn conflict resolution skills. If they're constantly independent, if they're constantly apart from one another, they aren't actually getting the opportunities to learn how to negotiate with one another, to learn how to have proper problem solving, which is going to help them later on when they get out into the adult world and have to use those skills with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So sibling rivalry, perhaps a net benefit in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
That concludes part one of our five-part series on sibling relationships with Dr. Volling. Tune into the next installment when I'll be talking with Dr. Volling about sibling abuse and how to tell it apart from normal sibling rivalry and how to deal with it. To find out more about sibling issues and other topics, visit the Your Child website. You can find your child by searching on Your Child with no spaces. Thank you, Dr. Volling.
Thank you.
For more information on this and other topics, please go to www.med.umich.edu. Thank you for listening to Your Child, brought to you by the University of Michigan Health System.